Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Let us pray the first verse of hymn number 500, which is, Blessed Jesus, at thy word we are gathered all to hear thee. Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to seek and love and fear thee. By thy gospel pure and holy, teach us, Lord, to love thee solely. Amen. Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the book of Hebrews, and it's right from the start. And it's interesting that there's no greeting. And so many commentators have suggested that this book is not a letter, like a lot of other letters in the New Testament, but rather it's a sermon which was used to encourage the Jewish Christians for a special, very special reason. They were encouraged to remain faithful to Jesus. It was written to a group of people who had a very good knowledge of the Old Testament. Hence, there's about a third of the book of Hebrews is quotes from the Old Testament. And it was written by an orator, obviously, because of the writing, the way it's written, and the way it's presented. Hebrews emphasises the absolute superiority of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, and the new covenant, which is in contrast to Judaism and the Old Covenant. You see, it's highly likely that these Jewish Christians were facing a very serious persecution. They seem to have lived in between two very serious persecutions, but they knew that one was coming. And so this sermon was written as an exhortation for them to remain faithful to Jesus under persecution. You might say, well, why were the Christians so afraid of persecution? Well, apart from losing their lives, although it hadn't got to that stage as yet, they didn't have the exemption that the Jews had. The Jews actually had an exemption from the state to worship their own God. And they didn't have to worship the Roman gods or the Greek gods or whatever. But the Christians didn't have that. And so there was a tremendous pressure on these people. And it was a situation where they never felt at this time free to do so, to worship Jesus, because of this lack of exemption. And so Jewish Christians lived under constant pressure to give up their faith and to go back to Judaism in order to be safe. I feel today, too, that there is an urgency. It's not as severe as persecution where people will lose their lives, but we're under persecution. Society, politicians, media are very much anti-Christian, aren't they? And they don't like it. They get offended by what is said, and they create all sorts of difficult situations and do not support the church. I guess it's a blessing to have a prime minister now who actually last week led a prayer in a church service in order to support farmers and those who are suffering, but also the people over in Indonesia who suffered so terribly. Our text is an encouragement to us, therefore. It talks about God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. As I said, something which many Australians don't accept, and the world claims to be divisive and offensive. I'll read the first four verses of our text. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And so today we're going to just briefly look at three aspects of Jesus. We're going to look at who Jesus is, what he has done and what he's doing, and what this means for us today. First of all then, we're reminded that God speaks to us with his powerful word. God is the one who created all things, and Jesus was also involved, the Son of God was involved in creation. God spoke to people in the Old Testament times through the prophets. They passed on God's truth to people, the people of their time, and what they said was timely, it was relevant, it was easily understood, and adapted to the needs of their age, and addressed particularly to God's chosen people. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the holiness of God and the redemption that was God. He was a God who would save, and of course the messianic hope of the Messiah who was coming. Amos cried out for social justice, particularly for the oppressed. And Hosea, throughout his life and through his home life particularly, demonstrated the forgiving love of God, that love which was promised to Israel when they repent of their iniquity and return to their Lord. Each prophet had, through his own experience and that of God's chosen people, proclaimed just a part of God's truth. But Jesus was different. In these last days, God has spoken to us by the Son, our text says. You see, God sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. The Apostle says, the Apostle John, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, the Word from God, brings to humans on earth the complete revelation of God. He is God. And so in verse 3, we read, Jesus reflects the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's very being. So when we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. It's very important then that we listen to Jesus, to what he says. Remember how at the transfiguration of Jesus, the Father in heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am very well pleased. Listen to him." And today, more than ever, we need to listen to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ and what he says, and take it to heart, and to live it, and believe it. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is God's Son, the Creator and owner of heaven and earth. So what did Jesus do? Our text reminds us that he was involved in the creation of heaven and earth. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." He also says, "For us, the Word, Jesus, became a human being and lived amongst us." And so Jesus came down from heaven. And as our prophet, during this time on earth, he revealed to us the way to God, the truth about God, and the reality of God's presence here on earth and in the life to come. As our creed says, "For us and for our salvation, Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. But on the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven. He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. All powerful, all power and authority has been given to Jesus. He is the heir of all things," our text says. How amazing it is that a Galilean carpenter who was crucified as a criminal on a cross would ultimately triumph and be the ruler of all things. Jesus was the Redeemer. And as our priest, he fulfilled the law and sacrificed himself for us. So what does this mean for us today? It means that Jesus has won the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. And this victory was not to show his power, that he is almighty, but rather to show that he is compassionate and loving, that he loves us dearly, and through his suffering, death and resurrection, we might be able to come into his presence. We come into his presence as forgiven people. And, of course, not only now, but also in the future, we will come into God's presence perfectly in heaven. That's the wonderful promise that he brings. Forever. Just imagine it. After we die, we will be with the Lord forever. How many times don't we wonder just how magnificent that will be? The exalted Jesus brings many children to glory, our text says. And so as our prophet, he still reveals himself as the Son of God through the word and through the sacrament, and we are all given honour and victory. The glory that God intended for us to have right from creation, and which was destroyed by sin when it entered into the world, it's now secured for all who faithfully follow Jesus, and it's secured by Jesus himself. Jesus has redeemed, he's recreated the world. Jesus is not just a good prophet. Jesus is not just an amazing man. Jesus is not a model to follow. But Jesus is the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. And we now have a special relationship with God. God has come to us through his Son, Jesus. And we can take comfort from the fact that Jesus is now involved in the world. He is with us right now. He is sending also his angels to be with us, to watch over us, to protect us. And so why would we want to give up Jesus? Why does the world not accept Jesus? And we are urged, of course, to proclaim Jesus to the world because of what he has done for us, because of who he is. He has made us his brothers and sisters. We're not left to our own desires, but Jesus is with us. And through our baptism, which is a daily repentance and washing away of our sins, he strengthens us. He also strengthens us through the sacrament of Holy Communion today as we come to him. Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood, for the forgiveness of your sins." So there he promises us forgiveness, he gives it to us, and also the desire and power for renewal. We go out people who are really wanting to do God's will, who want to serve Jesus, and who want to share Jesus with others. Jesus humbled himself by becoming lower than the angels who serve God and us. He suffered our death as our brother. And what amazing love that is for us. We now share in the glory that Jesus won for himself. He makes us more than conquerors as he heals our brokenness. He forgives our sins. He restores us as God's special people. We receive all this, we sing his praises again today, and we join in the Holy Communion with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Friends, we are children of a gracious and loving Father in heaven, and we are brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also recognise he's shown us this, that we may have to suffer. He achieved that all through suffering. Suffering, death, the agony of death on a cross. Being rejected by those around him. It was all through his suffering and death that he has made us one with him. Verses 10, 11 and 12 of our text read, "And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up, and like clothing they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end." Thank God that God does not change. His love and forgiveness is for us today in the same way as it was in the time of Jesus. And so we look forward to being face to face with God, as John says. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. That is surely something to look forward to. And using the blessing, which is at the end of the book of Hebrews, Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.